I'd like to start off with an interesting quote by Michelangelo. He said, "The greater danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it is too low and we reach it." Read that again. "The greater danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it is too low and we reach it." I want to use this as a starting point when we think about the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. How do we approach each Sabbath day? We're to keep it holy, as God prescribes for us. But are we aiming high? Are we aiming high, doing it the way God wants? Or are we aiming low? And inevitably, if we're aiming low, we reach our low aim. Today we're going to talk about keeping the Sabbath day holy as God intends. Whether we've been keeping the Sabbath day for just a few weeks or decades, we have to ask ourselves, I ask myself, have we compromised? Do we compromise sometimes week to week where we're using poor or even wrong behavior? We may have started out very diligent as we learned about the Sabbath, maybe very respectful, but then as time has gone by, perhaps we've gotten a little bit lax. We start reasoning certain ways, and maybe we've gotten a little lax. It can happen. Let's see where that's happened in the past. Let's go over to Nehemiah. Go over to Nehemiah 9. So often, we'll see that the things we experience, go through, they're not things that are new to us. They've certainly happened before to God's people. The Jews, if you remember, they had been in exile. They had been returning to Jerusalem. They were to work rebuilding Jerusalem, rebuilding the temple. They were going to be restoring their sacrifices. They were being led by Ezra, the priest, and Nehemiah, the governor. And they were told that they had some problems they had to correct. They had some foreign wives, and they had been breaking the Sabbath. Let's go into Nehemiah 9, beginning in verse 1 through 3, and let's see, as these different things come out, get a feel for what the situation was. "Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled and with fasting in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. So they knew that they had had problems. Then those of the Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place, and they read the book of the law of the Lord their God for one fourth of the day, and for another fourth they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God." So here they're looking to God, they're looking to God's word because they realize that they have done things wrong and improperly. To read the last part of verse 4, you'll see they're crying out with a loud voice to the Lord their God. And what we're going to see that follows is this long prayer that we're going to highlight and see some of the things that they were going to God about their problems and difficulties. Let's go down to verse 13. Let's look at again as we look at their prayer. "You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, your servant." So they are acknowledging that God had shown them about the Sabbath day. God had instructed them. And here they are, assembled before, that they're realizing the things that they need to repent and they're fasting about as well. Let's continue in verse 16. In this prayer, they're saying, "But they, our fathers, acted proudly. They hardened their necks, and they did not heed your commandments." So they're acknowledging, yes, that they fell short. Their fathers disobeyed. Their fathers rebelled over and over. Go down to verse 33. Verse 33, as we continue in this prayer, "However, you are just in all that has befallen us, for you have dealt faithfully, but we have dealt wickedly." They understand, and they're calling it for what it is. They have acted wickedly. Verse 36. Now we are your servants today, and the land that you gave to our fathers to eat its fruit and its bounty, here we are, servants in it. And it yields much increase to the kings that you have set before us. But because of our sins, also they have dominion over our bodies and our cattle at their pleasure. And we are in great distress. Remember, they are in exile. So they're realizing they did all these things, and they are now under great distress. They realize they blew it time and time again. They look at their history, that their fathers blew it as well. And now, what's their reaction? What do they want to do to straighten things out? Let's go into the next chapter, chapter 10. Go over to verse 29. Chapter 10, verse 29. See their reaction. And they joined with their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law. So basically, they're all getting together as a people, and they're taking an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God, and his ordinances and his statute. So, they want to be committed. They want to commit, and they're taking this oath. Let's go down to verse 31. If the peoples of the land brought wares or any grain to sell on the Sabbath day, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath. So they're acknowledging that that's not something that they're going to do. Or on a holy day. Right there, they're pointing out in particular that the Sabbath day, they want to start observing it in the right way, because they know that they've been doing these things about buying grain and selling grain on the Sabbath day. But here they're saying, in this commitment, we're not going to do that anymore. So you would think, okay, they got the lesson. They were in exile. They realize the things that they've blown it over and over. And you'll think, great, they're going to be set on that path for quite a while. Well, as human nature is, not so. Let's go over now to Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah had left. He had gone away. He had gone back to the king's court. Remember, he was an official in the king's court. And he was away. We don't know what period of time he was gone away for. But then Nehemiah comes back. And let's see what he finds when he comes back. Nehemiah 13 and verse 15. As Nehemiah comes back and he observes, remembering that the people, they had done things wrong. They had made an oath and a commitment. And now they should be on track. Or were they? Nehemiah 13 and verse 15. And in those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves, and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. This was just like a regular day. It was market day. They were bringing everything to buy and sell. So how did that happen? Did it happen slowly? Did they start rationalizing? Maybe one started to do it, and they saw old Sam over there, and he started doing that. Well, maybe I can do it too. Sam seems to be doing it. Maybe I can do that too. Little by little, they started to, more and more, started getting into this thing where they were buying and selling regularly. Or did they rationalize, well, you know what? I went to the temple earlier today. I put in my temple time. I got the rest of the day. There's nothing to do. I might as well make a little money. Is that how it started? Well, we don't know exactly what was in their thinking, but again, looking at human nature, it's easy to get into that kind of thinking like that. Were they thinking, well, you know what? Is selling, is that really keeping the day holy? Whose definition of holy were they using? Well, obviously they were using their definition, because in their mind, they thought, well, here's a Sabbath day. They may have gone to the temple, but yet they got into their other activities as well. Let's drop down further now in that same chapter. Let's go to verse 17. Let's, again, look at the importance. Nehemiah is reminding them the importance of not keeping the Sabbath day. Verse 17. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what evil thing is this that you do, by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do thus? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? He's reminding them, that's why you're in exile. because you didn't keep the Sabbath day. Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. Should have been so obvious to them, but again, human nature, being what it is, they just decided it wasn't such a bad thing to do. Verse 19, and so it was at the gates of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut, in charge that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gates, so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. So he had to basically put sentries out there, so that people would not be profaning the Sabbath day. He saw how they had fallen short before, and he knew that they could very likely do that again. Let's continue in verse 20. Then the merchants and sellers of all kinds of ware lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. So see, even though he's warning them and he's telling them these things, some of the people were still, these are people on the outside, they thought, well, you know what? I'm still going to bring my stuff over there and see if I can sell it. So then I warned them and said to them, why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. And from that time on, they came no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, that they should not go, and that they should go and guard the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. So the Levites even had to be cleansed because they had allowed these things to happen. And he had to remind them, look, you better be out there watching what the people are doing. And again, they had to have these guards out there to remind people to keep the Sabbath day. Now, brethren, we don't have people going around policing what you do, what I do. God wants us to be thinking for ourselves, but we know that human nature, the tendency is that we can get liberal sometimes. We can start looking at different activities and different reasonings, and we could slowly let things come into the Sabbath so that we're not keeping it holy. Well, let's go through some basics. Let's go over to Exodus 20 and be reminded, what is God asking us to do? What is God commanding us to do, I should say? Exodus 20. Let's read verse 8 and 11. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He's made it holy. He's designated it for us to keep it holy. It's just not putting in church time, or as the Jews may have thought, temple time. We're told we need to remember to keep it holy. Do you and I know the difference, what it means to rest and to keep something holy? There is a difference between just resting and keeping something holy. Well, let's continue. Let's go over a few chapters to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. In verse 21, we'll see some repeated instruction. Exodus 34 and verse 21. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. Huh, isn't that interesting? Here's this time of season that he's pointing out. When it's plowing time and harvest time, you're supposed to rest. You're still supposed to keep the Sabbath. Think of yourself as a farmer. You're a farmer at the time. It'd be easy to rationalize, well, this is the peak season. I got to go out and get this food out there. And after all, the whole community needs food. They're depending on this food. I need to bring it in. I need to use all the time I can. And I need to take advantage of that time. And I need to go out there and bring in the food on the Sabbath. That would be easy to do. It's this person's livelihood. He's a farmer. It's their livelihood. And it'd be a big temptation. But what is God saying? God is saying, look, you need to trust me. That I am the one that's in control of how things grow. That he's in control of the weather. And he can certainly maximize when the food's available at its peak. And so that things can be brought in at the right time. But again, you would think as the farmer, he would be thinking, well, this is my livelihood and my existence, and that's where the temptation could be. So doesn't it make sense that we're to rest from things that can seem important to our own livelihood? That we need to rest and not do these things that might seem important to our livelihood. So how can we relate that to ourselves? You might be asked to take a class maybe on the Sabbath day for your job. You might be asked to do homework for school. You would say, well, those things seem important. Well, just like that farmer, God is saying, look, you need to trust in what I'm doing. Now, they call it homework because it's work that's done at home. You know, I was able to go to college. I went back to college later in life with 4 children and a full-time job. But I was able to graduate with high honors. And it wasn't there anything special about me, but you know what? I never did my homework on the Sabbath. God blessed my efforts on the other 6 days. God blessed my efforts on the other 6 days. And that's what we have to keep in mind. If you're getting pressure to take a certain class or do some work on the Sabbath day, you have to know that God can bless your efforts on the other days. That's how we keep the Sabbath holy. Even if it's something that can affect our livelihood, it can affect our existence. There's some of those things we are not to do. Let's go now to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, and get some more instruction, again, about keeping the Sabbath day. We want to go to some of the basic scriptures so we can remember and keep these forefront in our mind. Again, what is our goal? Our goal is to be aiming high. You know, we may be doing things and we may be getting by on the Sabbath. Maybe you're not profaning the Sabbath, but are you really maximizing, getting the most that God wants out of this day for you and His relationship with Him? Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 to 14. Deuteronomy 5 repeats the 10 commandments, but look at commandments here a little bit different. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, and your male servant and your female servant, that they may rest as well. So that sounds very, very similar to what we read in Exodus. But let's look at verse 15. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Here's different emphasis here. God is saying, remember that they were a slave, that there was a time when they were not keeping the Sabbath day. There was a time when they were not keeping most of the commandments. And God is telling them, remember that you were a slave, that God delivered them out of with a mighty hand. Brethren, we too need to be remembering that there may have been a time when we didn't keep the Sabbath day. I know there's some of you that are brought up in the church. But for some, like myself, there was a time when I didn't know anything about the Sabbath day, and I had to learn. And I have to remember about keeping the Sabbath day, just as God says. Because again, brethren, it's easy to forget. It's easy to rely on our own efforts, on our own reasonings, that we can look for our own deliverance on the Sabbath day. And we can fail to keep the Sabbath day at God's intent. And what ends up happening? We become a slave, just like God is reminding that we were a slave. We can become a slave to carnal thinking. Carnal thinking of thinking just the way things are in the world, taking on that kind of mentality. We see that it happened with the Jews in Jerusalem. They forgot. They forgot that they were slaves at one time. And what happened? Well, God says, well, if you forgot, I'm going to remind you, and you're going to be in exile again. And that's what happened to them. They ended up having to learn that lesson all over again. Let's go now to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, in verse 21. Jeremiah 17, verse 21. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it to the gates of Jerusalem. No burdens. That would be carrying some type of load to keep it holy. Well, then again, how do you keep things holy? How do I keep things holy? The way that we keep the Sabbath day holy is to have God in it. To have God in it. That's what makes a difference. You know, somebody can rest. Some of our co-workers, some of our neighbors, maybe they're on vacation. And it happens to be a Sabbath day. Are we saying that, well, they're resting, they're keeping the Sabbath day? Well, no. God is nowhere in their mind. They're not keeping the Sabbath day. They're just resting. We can't have that kind of mentality where we're just at home. Well, I'm resting. I'm keeping the Sabbath day. Unless we have God in it, we're not keeping it holy as He wants. We see the difference there? There is a difference. And here it's talking about carrying loads. Now, we might think it's easy to think about physical loads. Well, how about mental loads? Mental loads. Things that occupy our mind, like work, like school, like finances, perhaps even hobbies, recreation, worries. They all creep up on all of us. They creep up on me. And sometimes, more often, they're more difficult to put down than the physical load. A physical load, you can see, okay, I've got this, I can take it off and I can put it down. Those mental loads, they keep popping back up. Don't you ever notice that? You think you set them aside, but they keep popping back up. And they become this load that weighs us down. And it may take repeated effort. You may have to go and ask God. Get down on your knee and ask God to help you to put that mental load down, because that's what we want to do. We got this worry, this anxiety, and we just want to clutch it. And of course, he's all the more eager to help us to have those lows, because what are they? They're distractions. They separate us from God. They weigh us down. But that's where we need to take action. We need to do something when we just have this mental load that's there. You might do any number of things. You might listen to a sermon. You might go on the website and read a blog or an article. The whole idea is got to get that load off your mind. Again, what are we trying to do? We're trying to keep the Sabbath holy. That's what our objective is, to keep it holy. Now, one of the things as we think about the Sabbath day, we often think about, what did Jesus say about the Sabbath day? He said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So do we think, well, that means that we can do pretty much whatever we want. Is that what Jesus was intending? Well, since the Sabbath was made for man, I can just do kind of whatever I want. No, that's not what he's saying. Let's go over to Isaiah. Isaiah 58. This is a familiar scripture when it comes to the Sabbath. Let's read what we're told here about the Sabbath day. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. If you turn your foot from the Sabbath day, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So here we see some instruction that seems very obvious. We're going to get into it in more detail, but first it's starting off saying about taking your foot off. Some translations say trample, some might even say kick. But let's notice, let's go into the next chapter, because remember, when this was written, there weren't any chapter breaks. So let's read now chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear. Is that just coincidence, that this is just written right after God's instructions about the Sabbath day? Well, profaning the Sabbath, treading on the Sabbath, trampling on the Sabbath is an iniquity before God, and it does separate us from God, and that's what verse is saying. It separates us. And one of the goals that God has for us on the Sabbath day is that we're not separated, that we're joined to Him, that their relationship is that much stronger. So we're going to look at, what does this mean when it talks about our own pleasure, our own words? Well, certainly God wants to be part of our conversations. Not that our words are just going to be all about what's going on in the world. Because again, if God is missing from our conversations, then how are we keeping it holy? So we're going to see how honoring the Sabbath and keeping it holy, they're actually linked together. Well, why does God use these statements? Why does he repeat this for Israel? Because it was a problem for Israel, it can certainly be a problem for us. That we can be distracted, that we can have wrong behavior, and that we can be not keeping it holy and not honoring him. So let's look at these three statements we're going to see in this passage that are in chapter 58, verse 13. The first one is avoiding our own ways. Avoiding our own ways. What does God mean by avoiding our own ways? Well, we can't eliminate, we can't stop not eating, say as an example. We wash up, we get dressed, we go to church. Aren't those our own ways, you might think? You might ask yourself, if you look at different activities in your life, as I look at different activities in my life, what is the intent? What is the motive behind an action or activity? Again, what is the intent? What is the motive behind an action or activity? Certainly we eat, we get dressed to go to work, to go to school. Those are things that we need to do. Those are intents and motives that you could say are for the other 6 days of the week. But brother, we're going to look at this like we look at, if you look at a budget, if you ever worked at a budget, what are the things you try to do to improve it? You're going to ask yourself, well, what things are there that are unnecessary? What things are there that are unnecessary or maybe just excessive? They may be basic things, but yet they might be excessive or unnecessary. Let's ask ourselves some questions. How about sleep? Well, sleep is necessary. It's one of those basic things. But you might ask yourself, if you're sleeping 12 hours and having a nap, is that really reflecting that you have a balanced life? Maybe there's some other issues there. Because if you're sleeping and doing things excessively, is it really giving God time to keep the time holy? It can be overdone. That's my point. It can be overdone. Maybe it's being overdone so much so that you're even late to church. That can happen. So that's what we have to ask ourselves. Sometimes feeling too tired, we may hear that. Now certainly there are certain situations that come up. Being sick, that's an obviously good reason, a certain health condition. Well, you can't make it to church. Having a new baby, that's another good reason. Not being able to come to church. Again, what are the motives? What is the rationale for some of the things we do? What are some of the poor habits that are maybe part of our lives that we need to change? Again, to aim high, not to aim low, to keep the day holy. Because we'll find if we are doing things that are just taking us too much away from the Sabbath, we have to ask another question. Are we in some way serving two masters? Are we serving two masters? Work, school might be on one side, and we give God whatever time is left. Is that right? No, not in God's sight. It isn't. God wants us again to deepen that relationship with Him. If we don't, we're squandering this wonderful opportunity. This is a wonderful gift that God has given to us. We're squandering it. We're going to have to look God eye to eye, and He's going to ask us, why did you squander this opportunity? It's time that we all have. It's a 24-hour span of time that God wants us to use it effectively, because we're each going to have to answer to God. So again, ask yourself, the things you do, what is the intent? What is the motive? Are we keeping God holy? Are we assembling before God together? Let's look at another example. Again, this is just to give you an idea. Getting dressed. We get dressed to go places. But if you're taking several hours to get dressed to come to church, ask yourself, are you doing that to impress other people? Or is it because you want to be appearing in your best? Well, God wants us to be appearing in our best. But sometimes we have to look at our motives, or is it to impress people? It's getting balance. It's getting balance in our lives. Now, it's not an issue of time. As I said, somebody might be taking a lot of time to get ready. It's more the motive, not so much the time. There are people that drive several hours. Several hours, a good chunk of their day may be spent getting to church. It's not the issue of time. Their motive is to get to church, to be with God's people. And that's a good thing, the right thing. They want to be obeying God. But again, it's using that time wisely and making sure we're not doing something that may be excessive. Remember, God says the Sabbath is supposed to be a delight. It's to be a delight, so we have to watch it. We're not overdoing things. And it could be any number of ways where we might be overdoing it. Watching news. Well, watching news may be needful, but can we be even overdoing that? Food preparation, again, where something is just taking a long time. It may be a distraction. We have to keep going back to the same thing. Are we keeping the day holy? We should be able to use our time in a wise way. And a lot of that comes from preparing. Preparing. A lot of the Sabbath is about preparation. Getting the clothes ready, having gas in your tank, doing the heavy cooking. We cannot anticipate everything that comes up. I know that that's the way things are in life. Things come up unexpectedly. Maybe you intended to get gas and you weren't able to do it. Certainly things like that come up. But we need to ask ourselves early in the day. I try to ask myself early on a Friday afternoon, what other things do I need to do before Sabbath? We can't ask ourselves 5 minutes before sundown, what do I need to do? That's not practical. We have to get a mindset. That's what we got to do. Get a mindset where we're asking ourselves earlier in the day, okay, Sabbath is coming up in a few hours. What do I need to do? Is there time for me to run out and get some more food because I don't have some? Time to go get some more gas? Doing all those kind of things. And trying to anticipate the things that we need to do ahead of time. You know, even in serving is something that helps us to be able to serve each other and serving in the church. But again, it needs to be in balance. Remember, Christ was serving the people. He would go and he would preach to them. But then he would have to go off to a secluded place to pray. We follow his example. He didn't just say, well, I'm serving. I'm going to be out here all the time doing my part in serving the people and teaching them. He had to spend time praying to his Father. So he knew the right priorities. He used his time in a right way. So that's the first point about our own ways. Look at the different motives that we have in our activities and ask ourselves, are there things that we need to change? Let's go to the second phrase that's used in part of this scripture, Isaiah 58. That's seeking our own pleasure. Seeking our own pleasure. The Hebrew can use the word desire or delight. Let's repeat what Christ said. He said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So it might just imply, well, shouldn't we just be having this very pleasurable day that's all about having a good time? Well, we know that God is merciful, he's gracious, he's very compassionate. He wants man to have pleasurable days. He doesn't want man to feel like he's under some kind of great burden. I remember years past when there were some of the doctrinal changes in the 90s, that there were some that felt the Sabbath was just this heavy burden. I thought, what? Heavy burden? If that's your mindset, then there's some problems there. God wants it to be a pleasurable day. He wants it to be a delight. So what is God saying when he says, seeking your own pleasure, that's a problem? Well, let's look at this word and have a little different contrast in it. Let's go over to Psalms. We're going to look at the same word and look at what kind of things does God want us to take pleasure in? What kind of things does God want us to take delight in? Let's go over to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 and verse 2. We're going to look at the same Greek word. Psalm 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Well, that's the kind of delight God would want us to have. That we're able to look at his law, that we're able to meditate on it, especially on the Sabbath day. When else in the week do you have the kind of time to be able to meditate on his law, to think on these things? Again, not every Sabbath is the same. Different things may come up. But in general, he wants us then to be thinking about his law, to be meditating on it. So here's that same word. Let's go over, look at another example in Psalms. This time it's in Psalms 111. 111 in verse 2. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Let me read out of the New American Standard Version. Great are the works of the Lord, and they are studied by all who delight in them. The problem isn't in having pleasure or delighting. That's not what the problem is. The problem is it's when it's our own motivations and not God's. When God is out of the picture. That's the problem. When God is out of the picture, when we're seeking the things that we want to take delight in or pleasure. It's not pleasure that's a problem or delighting, but it's doing it so much so that it's in our own little world with a very narrow view where God is out of the picture. God wants us to take and find pleasure in Him. Taking pleasure in Him, meditating on His Word, studying, praying, having that connection. That's what it's about, having the connection on the Sabbath day with God. It certainly would be a good thing sometimes to go out for a walk, especially if you have children. Now go for a nice walk, maybe in a park, to point out the beauty that's there, to point out and remind your children, look, there is a Creator God. He has made all these things wonderful so that we can enjoy. We can take pleasure in those kind of things, in realizing that God made these things for us to enjoy. We can delight in God in that way. Certainly if our children see us getting excited about the beauty out there, won't they too think about that, thinking, yeah, God did do that. That is wonderful. That is awesome. You know, that's a word that's tossed around so easily, awesome. Well, you know what? Only God is awesome. Only the thing that God does is awesome. And that's where our mind needs to be, thinking about what He can do. Another part of being balanced is about seeking our own pleasure and delight is family time. Family time is a good thing. We don't want to get... God doesn't intend us to lock ourselves away in a room and ignore the rest of the family. Is that saying, well, I'm just going to devote myself to God and the family, they're just tough. They can just be there on their own. That's not what God intends. God intends for the whole family to be together, to be worshiping Him together in a balanced way so that we all have the right kind of focus. You know, my kids are grown now, but when they were younger, we used to have an outdoor little pool. And on the Sabbath day, we would let them cool off. They would just go in there for a little while. Now, we did not have swimming parties. We did not have swimming parties because it had a whole different focus on the day if we had a swimming party. So we didn't allow them to do that. It was to be a day to enjoy, but the focus had to be on what is the purpose of the day. It's keeping it holy, doing things with the right motivation, the right intent. But again, it's easy to think, well, this is a day where I'm going to enjoy, I'm going to relax, I'm going to just turn on the TV and watch this football game. It's a big game I've been looking forward to. No, that's seeking our own pleasure. That's not appropriate. It's again where we have to be looking at what are the things that we're doing. It's not about our pleasure. It's about what are the things that please God. Okay, so that was point two, about seeking our own pleasure. Let's go down to the third one. The third point is about seeking our own words, speaking our own words. Does that mean that God wants us to walk around just quoting Scripture all day? Is that what God wants? We just walk around, as soon as you meet somebody, you start quoting Scripture? No, that's not what God is saying. Let's look a little bit deeper at this expression. Two commentaries, Barnes and Gill, the phrase can mean from speaking vain words. Another commentary gives a little more insight. I like this one. This is from Kyle and Delich. They say, the words of vain, useless character and needless multitude, especially gossip, boasting, and negativity. Those are the kind of words that God doesn't want us to get involved with. Words that are vain, that lack character, and just go on and on. It can be like gossip or boasting, negativity. We hear so much of that the rest of the 6 days of the week. Why should that be our focus? Why should that be our focus? That's part of where things that can be a big distraction and keep us from keeping the Sabbath day holy. We should be able to talk about the things of God. Scripture says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sure, we need balance. It's okay to ask somebody how their job is going, a certain health issue that maybe they're having, so you get to know them a little bit better. But can we also use those questions, those topics, even as a springboard for spiritual topics? Certainly we can. We can do that. Let's go back to Isaiah 58. Well, briefly in Isaiah 58, verse 14, it talked about taking delight in the Lord. That's all I wanted to refer to, taking delight in the Lord. That our conversation should be sincere. It's not for show where you bring up a topic at church. It's honoring God in our conversation. It's honoring God in our conversations. And having all the worldly things trying to put them out of our mind and our heart, having God in the picture. You know, when we're at work or we're at school, it's easy to talk with your coworkers about work issues. Isn't that right? You're at work, you can talk about work things. If you're at school, you can talk to those at school about things related to school. There's a common ground there. Well, should it be any different with church and fellowship? Shouldn't we be able to talk about the things that really matter in life, the spiritual things, the things that are going on in the world, the work? We should be able to do that. Last year, I gave a sermonette about fellowship and conversation on the Sabbath. Just bring out a couple of points I brought up then. In my sermonette, I said, are we missing the opportunity to deepen our spiritual understanding and appreciation as we talk with one another, as we encourage one another? You know, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever felt like this, sometimes you feel like you've just been beat up all week. You've been beat up and you'd like some encouragement. Or maybe you're on the other end and you see somebody's down. And you have the opportunity to be encouraging. That's what our words need to be. They need to be encouraging one another, lifting up one another, so that God's Spirit is flowing in both these individuals. There are lessons there that we can learn, that we can be helping each other. In the sermonette, I brought up two points, two how-to. The first is pray. Pray ahead of time for your conversations. Pray about your conversations. Pray to be a good listener as part of that, too. Be a good listener. To ask the questions to better understand. Those kind of things are pleasing to God. The second point I was, you might even plan some potential discussion topics. Plan some potential discussion topics. You could talk about something recently that you just studied, that just kind of jumped out at you. I know many of you have now signed up for the Foundation Online for the Harmony of the Gospels classes. You might bring up something. Hey, you know what? I just studied this. Did you know that? You might talk about a recent miracle that you saw or witnessed. You might talk about a news event, but put it in light of how that ties into biblical prophecy. You know, we don't have to feel like we're just shuddering away from these things. Oh, I can't sound like that. That sounds too goody-two-shoes. Brother, why are we here? Why are we here? To keep the Sabbath holy. But too often we just might get into just rehashing old problems. That's not what God wants to see. Again, are we aiming high or are we aiming low? That's what God wants to see us do. Let's go over to John 15 and just be reminded, what is our attitude? What is our mindset? And relate this to the Sabbath day. John 15 and verse 9. John 15 and verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. What does that mean, abiding in God's love? Is that just one of those nice little phrases? Doesn't really mean anything? Doesn't it mean keeping the commandments? If we're abiding in God's love, that we're keeping the commandments. Christ abides in the Father's love, and he keeps the commandments. Do we keep the Sabbath day the way it demonstrates that we're abiding in Christ's love? We should. We should be doing that, so we are demonstrating that in our mind, in our attitude. Let's go over to Proverbs 8, and see one example of having an attitude that pleases God on the Sabbath day, especially if we can have this, should have this attitude all during the week. But if we can especially show this on the Sabbath day to God, then this will honor Him. Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Diligently. What does that mean, diligently? Well, that word means, the Hebrew has the reference, early at any task. To search in a painstaking kind of way. That's what it means, diligently. It can mean to dawn. It's getting the jump on things, to seek God early. God wants us to see us put in effort. He does want to see us put in effort. Because with effort comes appreciation. You ever see where things, if they come too easy, we don't appreciate it. God says, seek Him diligently. It takes effort. But that's the attitude He wants to see, that we're serious about this relationship. We're serious about it. Let's go to verse 21 in the same chapter. That I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. Now, we're not doing this with a motive to get, but this is what God says is going to happen. If he sees that you're diligently trying to have that relationship, the result of keeping the Sabbath and love and the rest of the commandments can be treasures. And there are all kinds of treasures. We can first think of physical treasures, but there's certainly spiritual treasures. Spiritual treasures that are out there. Let's look at one of them, verse 11, same chapter. Verse 11 of Proverbs 8. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Here is wisdom that's shown up as a treasure. God just talked about giving his people treasures if they diligently seek him. Treasure, wisdom is often described as a jewel. Nothing can compare with her. That's out of the New American Standard Version. Certainly there are the other fruits of the Spirit that we can be developing that are treasures as well. That's what God wants to give us. But he wants to see that we're diligently having that effort. He's not going to give it to us if we see that we have this very casual attitude where we're not putting in a lot of effort, kind of ho-hum. If you had somebody that was working for you, or two people working for you, see one that's really hard working, they're trying to be punctual, they're trying to be conscientious, they're trying to maybe save you money, and you have another worker that's just putting in time, who would you reward more? Well, of course, the one that's trying to look out for your interest. That's who you would be looking at to reward. Let's go over to Psalms and see one application of this attitude of David. Let's go over to Psalm 63. And we'll see an example of attitude. Mr. Kelly spoke about attitude last week. Let's look at David's attitude. Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2. O God, you are my God. Early, we talked about diligently, that had this reference of being early. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked to you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Well, you know, we might read over the second verse, sanctuary, and think, well, okay, what does that mean? Let's look at this because I think it'll help us see things in a little bit different perspective. This word sanctuary, the Hebrew, it can mean holy place. Well, brethren, isn't the Sabbath a holy place? God says keep it holy. The Sabbath is a holy place. We're not going to turn there, but as a reference, you could look, if you looked at Exodus 16 and verse 23, it says the sanctuary there, the same Hebrew word rather, it's used to describe the holy Sabbath. The same word is used to describe the Sabbath as being holy. That's how the word is used. So David is saying, in effect you could say, so I have looked for you in the Sabbath day. Would that be a wrong thing to put there? No, because a sanctuary is something that's holy. The Sabbath is holy. That's how David was using it. He was using it diligently. Brethren, likewise we need to. We need to pray and be asking, God, how can we improve? How can I improve in keeping the Sabbath day so that it has a deeper meaning, we can have a deeper relationship with him? We have to watch those little habits, those little things we may not even be aware of. We're going to shoot home today. We'll see some mail, maybe throw it on the floor. If you have an apartment, they put it through the letterbox. You might have the habit just ripping open a bill or a statement. Brethren, isn't that a distraction? Do you have to do that on the Sabbath day? Now, I'm not talking about a personal card or a letter. Things like that, but I've seen some people where they'll do that. They'll get home and they'll just start ripping open a statement. I thought, I never want to do that because you know what's going to happen? What if there's a mistake? The rest of the Sabbath, you're going to be upset about that mistake. So why even go there? Why even do that? You might say, well, it's not really breaking the Sabbath. Well, are you aiming high or are you aiming low? You don't need to do that. You got 6 days to be able to do those kind of things. We don't need to be doing those kind of things. You need to use the Sabbath the best way we can. You know, it's a little thing. It's a little thing, but it shows. It shows where our heart is. Another area where people can get caught up in is the ox in a ditch. Ox in a ditch. Let's go over to Matthew. Matthew 12 and verse 11. Matthew 12 and verse 11. As Christ addressed this, he had been healing on the Sabbath day, and of course he was getting looks and dirty stares because people didn't think that he should be doing that on the Sabbath day. And let's just jump into the story here as they were accusing him. Matthew 12 and verse 11. Then he said to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep that if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath will not lay hold of it and lift it out?" He was reminding them it's a good thing to take something out. In Luke's account, Luke 14, we're not going to turn that out, mentions it could be a donkey, it could be an ox. It doesn't matter. It's an animal that's fallen in distress. Let's read verse 12 there in Matthew 12. "But how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day." It is lawful to do good. And we should do good in any things that come up. Things are going to come up in our lives. Like what this example was pointing out, an animal. It would be a dire consequence to have an animal to just leave him there and let him die. Brother, life comes at us. Things are out of our control. Might have a pipe break. There was one Sabbath I remember coming. It wasn't Sabbath yet. I was just coming home. It was probably about 10 minutes before the Sabbath. I don't know if I'd been some other place, but I knew it was about 10 minutes before Sabbath, and the kids are outside. And right outside of our porch, the water came into the house. And one of the kids just put his foot on it and snap. All of a sudden, we had gushing water all over the place. Four kids, gushing water, had to turn it off. Well, brother, to me, that was an ox in the ditch. It was an easy fix. I took time. I fixed it. Now, it wasn't something that took me all day. It took me just a short amount of time fixing it. But that was an ox in a ditch to me. You might walk out of here, you might have a flat tire. Well, you might need to change that so you can get home. There are things that do happen in our lives. Farmers have to feed animals and milk cows. But we have to make sure, is it a true emergency? Is it a true emergency? Is it really important? Is it really important? Many years ago, I remember a lady telling me in the church that she had stopped off on the Sabbath day over at a Walmart to buy a blade so she could cut the grass. The grass wasn't going to be cut until the next day. And for her, she said, "That's an ox in the ditch." And I thought, she looked at the look in my face. I didn't say a word, but she thought, she could see that I didn't agree with her. What importance would one day make in cutting the grass? To her, it was a big thing. Brethren, that was not an emergency. That was not that important. When you think, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to keep the day holy. But see, it's easy to rationalize and think something is so important that we can make these little decisions and we get distracted in what the day is all about. We have to look. We have to see, are we having many oxes in a ditch in our lives? Is it really a result of, maybe it's a result of poor planning or priorities or judgment? Is the Sabbath holy enough to be preparing ahead of time? It should be. The Sabbath day should be important enough to us to be planning ahead of time. Yes, things happen. God wants us to take the Sabbath seriously. It's this wonderful gift, this wonderful opportunity He has, and we need to make the best use of it. But we have to watch and we have to ask ourselves about our different reasonings, our different habits, the things that we've maybe done for years on end, like I was saying, opening bills and statements, little things like that. Those are things that we have to watch. We have to watch the little activities, the big activities. God wants us to think for ourselves. But we also have to make sure we don't go too far. We don't go too far. You know, we read earlier about Israel, ancient Israel, that they were buying and selling on the Sabbath day. One thing you might do that might think, well, that's not such a bad thing. You might be wanting to, say, buy something from another member. And you might say, well, why don't you just bring it to church and I'll give you some cash in an envelope or a check. Well, brethren, that's a business transaction. That's a business transaction. We shouldn't be doing those kind of things. Yes, it's inconvenient if you have to meet them separately or have it mailed. But what are you doing? You're keeping the Sabbath day holy. So we shouldn't be not doing those type of things. Again, that's a business transaction. But not all business transactions are wrong. You may need gas. You may have forgotten to fill up. Sometimes you need to do those kind of things. So there certainly are exceptions. Okay, some people will go out to restaurants while they're on the Sabbath day. Well, the church put out a recent study paper where the church is saying, based on the biblical evidence, they see that it is permissible to go out on the Sabbath day to restaurants. Now, if some don't want to do that out of personal choice, that's fine. They don't want to do it against their conscience, that's fine. Well, then don't do it. But all I'm saying, there are things that you can do. You can do, and there is a study paper on it. So what is the Sabbath teaching us? What is the Sabbath day teaching us? Have you ever thought, how does the Sabbath shape us? How does the Sabbath influence us? Does God even use it as a teaching tool? Maybe we don't even realize long term. How is it even teaching us? Let's go over to Luke 17. Luke 17. Because we're going to see it has some tremendous ramifications if we look at it a certain way. Let's go over to Luke 17. Luke 17. We're going to read verses 28 to 32. Luke 17, verse 28. Likewise, this is Jesus speaking, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. What is the context here when it says remember Lot's wife? Was it that Lot's wife got caught up in an emotional weakness and she just gave in and turned around? Brethren, I don't think so. If we look at the context of what's being said here, it's for those people that could not leave their own things behind. Those that were on the housetop that thought they had to go down into the house to get those things. If we look at some of the other scriptures, it refers to those that were in the field and they thought they had to go back for certain clothes. Well, Lot's wife is like one that's on the housetop. She wants to get her own things out because she thinks that's what's important. Or she's like the one that's in the field and thinks that she has to go and get the things out of her home. For Lot's wife, it was her difficulty was in putting the world out. That's what her problem is when we remember Lot's wife, of putting the world out. Now, God is merciful. He didn't just punish her because she had a moment of weakness. He saw that she had difficulty putting the world aside. Brethren, each Sabbath we make decisions. We determine how we're going to use our time. We decide how we're going to put the world out. How we're going to keep it holy. We decide the thoughts, the attitudes that we're going to have. We have to draw a line in the sand on how we're going to have the world affect us. If we cannot make the right decisions week after week on the Sabbath day, will we, like Lot's wife, fail in our calling because we have not developed the self-control to make right choices week after week? Let me repeat that because that's important. Will we be like Lot's wife because we will have failed, possibly in our calling, because we haven't developed the self-control of making the right choices week after week on the Sabbath? Brethren, yes, that can happen to you and I. Every week we have the chances to build character, to have that relationship with God. But when things get difficult, will we forget and just clung to those things that are of the world? That's not what God wants for us. Let's go now to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24. And see how God wants us to be thinking. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, well, let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Brethren, if we keep the Sabbath holy, God is giving us an opportunity to understand God, to see how he thinks. But if we're compromising if we continually have these false ox in the ditch, if we have poor planning, what's going to happen? We're going to distance ourselves. We're going to distance ourselves from God. Look at the last part of this verse that we just read. For I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Brethren, if we have problems seeing that in God, if we have problems seeing that in God, could some of that be due to poor Sabbath observance? Because we haven't had that relationship with God that we should be having, where the Sabbath helps us to understand that? Look at verse 25. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Who is this written to? This is written to the nation of Israel, who kept the Sabbath. They thought they kept the Sabbath, but yet there was part of them that were uncircumcised of heart. They were hardened, they were stubborn. They didn't start with the basic observances of keeping the Sabbath in the right way. And for that reason, they didn't understand the loving kindness, the judgment, the righteousness that God had. They fell short. They fell short just like we can. So, brethren, this is very basic, it's very fundamental. But as we wind down, we remember that's what we need to look to. We need to go back to the basics. God says we should not be forsaking the assembly of ourselves. We should be at church unless we have a good reason, like being sick, being tired. Being tired sometimes, when you think about it, we hear people in other nations where they will spend hours getting to church out in the hot sun. They've worked a full week, and why is it that they can make it to church and some here will not drive 20 or 30 minutes in an air-conditioned car? I have a hard time understanding that, and I think God may as well. Do we value what God is giving us? Do we value what God is giving us? We're going to each have to answer to God. Let's go over now to John 12. Remember the big picture, what God wants for you and I. John 12, and verse 26. John 12, and verse 26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Brother, we want to serve Christ. We want to be where He is. He is in the Sabbath day. He will be here at services. If we pray that He's here, He will be here. If we keep the day as He instructs. If we're here with an attitude of humility, an attitude of being teachable, He will help us. Brother, we need to take it seriously. We need to be here on time, early preferably. We need to be dressed in our best. We need to value this day as God wants us to. And if God again sees us valuing it, He will help us to grow. Brethren, will we aim high and maybe miss the mark, or will we aim low and hit it? You know, the youth camps they talk about this last year about raising the bar. We need to have the same approach for improvement. How can we improve? Let's go over to John 17 for the last scripture. John 17, verse 24 to 26. John 17, verse 24. These are the words, the last words that Christ had to His disciples. Words He wanted them to remember, that He wants us to remember. This is before He laid down His life. Father, I desire that they also, whom You gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which You have given me. For You loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known You, but I have known You. And these have known that You sent me. And I have declared to them Your name, and will declare it, that the love with which You love me may be in them, and I in them. Brethren, we have to aim high. We have to keep the Sabbath holy. We have to be with the Father and the Christ, and Christ in mind and heart. And in that way we can behold their glory, even as we just read. But more importantly, that their love may be in us, and Christ in us.